Certainly are thankful once again for the opportunity. We're thankful for this day. Thankful for the song service and the prayers and the preaching of the Word of God that we've heard this morning. Thankful for the heartfelt hospitality that's been shown not only to me, but I think to everybody that's come through these doors. It's just, it feels just really good. So thank you so much to each one of you that's labored to try to make it to make it comfortable, to make it nice to be here. You know, I believe there's no better place to be. There's a million other places to be, but there's no better place to be. You know, Jesus Christ, He said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would they fight? I could send legions of angels to fight. Of course, He needed no help into order to power, but that was an expression that He used to demonstrate that the kingdom of God is not of this world. So you know what? If it's not of this world, it's of that world, and that's of the heavenly world. So today, dearly beloved, if we truly are worshiping in the kingdom of God, we're worshiping in a part of heaven that has come down for us while we live here. So there is no other, because I mean, can you think of a better place in the can you think of a better place than heaven to be? Absolutely not. This is a part of heaven. It's God's kingdom on this earth. So I stand in need of your continued prayer as we try to stand before a portion of the Lord's people. You know, it is, you know, I love to hear that if you're reading the scriptures and you get all this fear in yourself, then something's wrong. You've been misled. There's, as people read scriptures and they come to the part about election and predestination, that scares them to death. And it's just a shame. I know it's in the Bible, but I just can't believe that. If you would, and you have your Bibles, let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. I'd like to read a verse or two. And on the outset of this, it can maybe make you a little hesitant. But when you see the truth of the Word of God, it makes you free. Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. No, we'll stop there. We can see that, you know, it's comforting to truly believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. It's inspired. And in that, we know that, you know, Isaiah we could have the sense there that that message that Isaiah was writing, it could be that it was the Spirit of the Lord was definitely upon Isaiah. He was called by God to send message and prophecy to the children of Israel. And the children of Israel were definitely in captivity and in bondage, enslaved from time to time. So we can have a present day when Isaiah said it, meaning it can also have a prophetic, messianic type of message, which it does.
Absolutely.
Pointing to the day of Jesus Christ, because that's the acceptable time of the Lord. And then it can also teach us today. That's truly amazing. There's no other author that can do that except God. In the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, fourth chapter, verse 16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up." This is speaking of Christ. So not only would that apply to Isaiah, but this is applying to Jesus Christ, because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to preach the gospel and the acceptable year of the Lord. And Jesus, where was it? 16. "And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written." Now, he didn't open up to chapter 61, because there wasn't no chapter 61 then. But he opened up right to that spot. "And he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" What he's saying is, when Isaiah wrote that, he was speaking of me when I would come into this world. I would preach the acceptable year of the Lord. "And he closed the book and gave it to, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day, this time in which I'm living, is the scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" He was fulfilling scripture. Now, I would like to talk about a little bit of what he fulfilled. And that, okay, let's go to verse 2 in Isaiah chapter 61. To proclaim, you know, and it's like probably most ministers of the Word of God, you know, they have these, they have some things in their mind, and they, if we truly do depend on the Lord to put them in order for us. You know, let us feel the Spirit, lead me, turn me. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Now, it doesn't seem like the word vengeance and comfort all that mourn would be there together. You know, vengeance is to get revenge. You ever had that thought in your mind? "Oh, they crossed me. I'm going to get revenge on them." And you know, most of the time when we think of revenge, if they stepped on my toe, then I'm going to step on their foot, because I'm going to get them a little bit better back than they got me. Of course, no one in here has ever had that thought. We see, that's a fleshly thought. That's not a godly thought. It's not a spiritual thought. Because the Bible tells us in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 14, "Bless them that persecute you." Yeah, we should pray for our leaders. We should be thankful for them. You say, "Well, there ain't nothing to be thankful for." Just, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to imagine how much worse it could be right now for each one of us. "Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil." provide things honest in the sight of all men. No, I'm getting to it. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Vengeance is of the Lord. He will repay. By definition, if the Lord would help, vengeance we can think of as a just recompense for something that has occurred for the necessity of the law. Does that make sense at all? It's synonymous with justice. Vengeance can be justice, legally speaking. Vengeance, and so we see here that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, those that are in bondage, those that are in prison, those that are enslaved, those that are in fear. He has sent me to set them, to make them free. The day of vengeance is come. You know, the children of Israel have been in bondage many different times, historically speaking. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter, and I want to see the vengeance of the Lord in this justice to come down on the enemies of the children of God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. In Exodus chapter 14, you know, the children of Israel were in bondage and in slavery and in captive of Egyptian bondage. They were in bondage. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has sent me to set them free. You know, in Exodus chapter 1 it says, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein made them serve was with rigor. There's no doubt, I think, we can see the bondage and captivity that the children of Israel was in. And in Exodus chapter 14, verse 10, we read this. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. We thought they had been set free for all good forever when they had departed from the land of Egypt and went out. And now they're at the Red Sea. They thought they were free. And then here come, they hear the hoof prints. They hear it. They feel the earth shatter. They become afraid again. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They had just experienced the firstborn being killed. And yet, they continued their fight to pursue and to bring them back into bondage. Verse 11, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? They were complaining. Is not this the word that we tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not. You know, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mind. And He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He shall shew you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. You see, we're going to behold the vengeance of the Lord to the enemies of the children of God. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. The Red Sea. Don't you like to think about that? There was the Red Sea. Pharaoh's coming at them. And now they just behold the sea open up from the nostrils of the Spirit of God. Blows them up. Blows them apart. They're congealed. They're walls. The land before the children of Israel is dry land. What? That's a miracle. Ah, but you know the naysayers of this world. Job says that, you know, the Lord will have the wise in their own craftiness. You know, we got some intellectuals out in the world. They said, well, you know, that couldn't happen. It says, well, you know, the sea there at that point in time was probably just like this part of water. You know. You can't outsmart God. It's way down there. Who's that going to drown?
I drowned all of Pharaoh's army and his horses.
But I'll take what the Bible says. I truly believe in it, and I trust you do too.
Amen.
Doesn't this just make everything so much easier? You know, isn't it a shame? Isn't it a shame that there are, I believe, children of God.
Absolutely.
That they read the Scriptures to find something wrong with it. And Moses stretched out his hand. I want you to see the vengeance of God. I want you to see where it came from. And I want you to see the result of this vengeance. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. But that didn't stop the pursuit of those wicked, evil Egyptians. They pursued them and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar and the fire of the cloud, and the troubled, this is the vengeance of God, and troubled, this is verse 24, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. That doesn't sound too bad, really, just troubled the host of the Egyptians. And took off their chariot wheels. Can you imagine that? There they go. I mean, they're just after them. And there go their wheels. That's the God of the mountains. It's the God of the valleys. It's the God of the chariots. You know, you think about it. God has power over living and non-living. He can cause the ass to speak. He can cause the animals to board an ark. He can cause the wind to be still. He can cause the chariot wheels to be loosed. Hey, you know, it says all power. As we read in Genesis chapter 17, Abraham, he says, that God was speaking to him. He says, the Lord God, Almighty, all might, all power. And took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavenly, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. I tell you, you know, I know that people say there's atheists in the world and things of that nature, but Egyptians didn't believe in God all the time. But they did some of the time. And they did here. And I was never in the military, but I've heard of people that's been in the military, and they said that, you know, they were fighting and they were soldiering with some proclaimed atheists. But when the fight got hard enough, they wanted prayer. And they looked up somewhere for protection. They might be sometimes. And these Egyptians, you know, they didn't believe in the one and true living God, but it said for the, you remember when the walls of Jericho, when they were down there at the bottom and they were getting ready to go up to Jericho, it said Jericho had encamped. They closed up the wall because they had heard for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. That's what the Egyptian says. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled across it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And his waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. You see the vengeance of God in that. Not one of them remained. Maybe there was some floating chariot wheels. Who knows? So what I want us to see is how the vengeance of God came that day to free those that were in bondage from the Egyptians. And it destroyed them. It destroyed the Egyptians in that they were no more in bondage to them as a result of that day of vengeance. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So, we see a timely, in time, application of that. And let us bring it up to right now. Let us see the spiritual application of this day of the vengeance of God. You know, when we know when the Lord descends, the just and the unjust are going to rise up. And the just are going to be on this right hand. It says, come, inherit the kingdom. But you know the vengeance of God will be upon those, won't it? Every just recompense, every reward. You know it says in the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. That's true. Every transgression and disobedience will receive a just recompense of reward. Whatever that transgression, whatever that disobedience, the vengeance of God will be upon that so justice can be served. Does that make sense? That's true. And here it says in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2, that the year of the Lord, this is the year of the Lord, is acceptable. The day of vengeance has come. Let those that mourn rejoice. So here's how I think that applies to us, spiritually speaking. And we can, our fear is removed. Our fear is removed when the day of vengeance of the Lord is coming, when He will give a just recompense for every disobedience and transgression. What is the just recompense for every transgression and disobedience? What's the just recompense? What?
Death.
Eternal death.
Amen.
Cast in the lake of fire. A forever torment in hell. That is the just recompense for every transgression and disobedience.
Amen.
And the day of vengeance of the Lord shall come.
Right.
Everyone will receive that judgment. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Well, then where do we stand? How come that does not make us so fearful that we can't even move in this world? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because it pleased the Lord to bruise him.
Amen.
The vengeance, the wrath of God upon every disobedience and every transgression for every one of the children of God is served. Justice has been accomplished. Vengeance has come. Vengeance was placed. Justice was placed. The wrath of God was placed upon Jesus Christ at the cross at Calvary.
Amen.
For every one of His children. For everyone that He knew before the foundation of the world. For everyone that He has loved for all eternity. Vengeance of God has come, and it was placed upon Jesus Christ at the cross at Calvary. Therefore, by one offering, He has sanctified forever. No, therefore, by one offering, He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. You see that? Forever. You see, the children of God were in bondage. We were sold under sin. We were slaves to it. But we have been made free in the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at the cross of Calvary. He hath not dealt with us according to our iniquities, but He dealt with Jesus Christ. But the wrath that was due us was placed upon Christ at the cross at Calvary.
Amen.
Stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. You know, it says in John chapter 8, I believe it is, if the Son hath made you free,
you're free indeed.
You're free indeed. Dearly beloved, we're free indeed because the Son has made us free.
Amen. Yeah.
And to be quite honest with you, I'm not afraid of the day of the vengeance. You know, it takes the Spirit of God's got to be strong and just and pure for anyone in this depraved nature to believe that they've been made free by the blood of Jesus Christ. It takes the power of the resurrecting Christ to make you believe that. You see, by death, Christ has destroyed death. Who through fear, all their lifetime were in fear. They were in bondage of this death, this thing called death. They were in bondage of death. They were in fearful bondage of death because they were afraid of what's going to happen upon their death. But dearly beloved, we've been set free from that fear. As a matter of fact, it's like we said, it's like we've heard this morning, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Not to be absent from the body is to go to hell, but to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. To be absent from the body, we're not going to experience the wrath of God because Christ experienced it for us. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him. You remember how the vengeance of God destroyed Pharaoh and all of his army and all of his horses. That Christ, through death, destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That bondage is gone. I believe if you have the fear of death, I'm not saying that you want to die, but there's difference. You see, understand the difference. There's a misunderstanding of Scripture if there's someone that is in that bondage and they believe in Jesus Christ. See, they don't believe. They don't believe that Pharaoh was utterly destroyed in the Red Sea. There's a little bit of something just still chasing after me. You understand what I'm saying? But Pharaoh, that bondage is gone because Pharaoh is gone. We stand, we live in the forgiveness of our sins. Our sins have been forgiven. They have been separated from us. Our sins have been separated from us. That's got to be mighty powerful blood, don't you think? Powerful blood. That has cleansed every one of God's people from every one of God's people's sins. Every one of the sins of every one of God's people. Every single one of God's people. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And Jesus Christ says, I will in no wise cast out. Because our sin debt has been paid in full. That's all I need to say. We meet here as a redeemed group of people. I think it's almost frightening sometimes when somebody would come up to me and say, pray for me. Yeah. Because it says the fervent and effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and it's like, I'll try to pray for you, but because the Bible tells us when we were yet without strength, Christ died for me. He died for the ungodly. The day of vengeance has come for the children of God. Because that vengeance was placed upon our risen and ruling, reigning, and returning Savior Jesus Christ. Well, this is what I thought I forgot. Brother Tony read over there 1 Timothy 1:7. And you know, Book of Romans says this in the 8th chapter. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage unto fear. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you've received the spirit of adoption. We're in the family of God. We've been adopted. Whereby we cry, Abba Father. May God add His blessing. May we rejoice.